10 minutes to address the issue about the local projective measurement in the quantum field. Then I will turn to the main part of this of today's lecture, which is the quantum teleportation between the famous twins in relativity. Okay, so when we are, as we mentioned, that the dynamical variables of quantum fields could be essentially non-local in space. For example, a free field, a field mode of a scalar field is kind of plane waves. And if you want to measure the number of some field modes, then you are doing some non-local measurement. And so the question is, in most of the quantum information processing, which is interested by relativists, the locality or local measurement is very important, but how to perform a spatially local measurement in a quantum field? One possibility is to measure a point-like object coupled to the field. This is what we did in laboratory. For example, if you are measuring photons, you use PMT or CCD. Then you are looking at the atoms in the lattice, in the crystal, and you are measuring the quantum state of that atom. And so you add a bias to that crystal or the atom, then the avalanche process is always started by an ionization of an atom. And so to me, perhaps this is to couple a localized object to a quantum field is the only possibility to measure, to do this kind of spatially local measurement. And also, since we are doing a measurement on an object coupled to the field, we have to do this in the interaction region, not in the asymptotic region. And so the second question I'm asking is that are two post-measurement states measured in the same spatially local event, but collapse on different time slices in different frames consistent? What I mean is the following. If I have a detector field system defined in this space, and then I take the conventional coordinate, which is the Minkowski coordinates, then my time slices would be something like this. And so if sometime I perform a localized measurement, then the wave functional of the detector and the field will be collapsed on this time slice. Then the post-measurement state would be a new initial state and then start to evolve then to T2, for example. And on the other hand, if I choose alternative coordinates, this wavy one, then I will interpret that the wave function null is collapsed on this side time slice. Then the question is, if somewhere these two coordinates has identical time slice, then you can compare the quantum states in these two different coordinate choice of reference frame. Then will they be the same? We have learned how to do this calculation yesterday. If you didn't, if you were awake all the time, but anyway, if you really do the calculation, then you will see that at T2, the quantum state will again consist of some correlators, and you really do the calculation, you will find that those correlators are functions of the mode functions corresponding to the damped harmonic oscillator localized in the point-like detectors, which are our little q mode functions. And also, you can find the retarded field emitted by those detectors, which are our little phi mode functions. And you can notice that these three kinds of mode functions never depend on the data on the time slices of this position. I mean, these three kinds of mode functions never depend on this on the data here or here or there, which are on the time slices outside of the detector. That means that the wave functional at T2 is a function of explicitly covariant object independent of the data on the T1 or tau1 time slices outside of the detector. And so the wave functional in the alternative coordinates at T2 can be transformed to the conventional one under a special coordinate transformation. In this sense, we say each post-measurement wave functional evolve to the same functional at T2 up to a coordinate transformation. And so it doesn't matter which time slice at T1 or tau1 that the post-measurement state wave functional has collapsed into. And this is by virtue of the special locality of interaction and the covariance of the mode function and the spatial locality of measurement and the linearity of quantum physics. This consistency is up to the cutoff we make. Okay. Good. So next topic is the quantum teleportation. Is anybody not familiar with this quantum teleportation? I think most of the audience know this, right? And so you have Alice and Bob share a Nintendo pair, and Alice want to send a quantum state carried by the third by this qubits, and for some reason Alice cannot deliver the carrier, this carrier, directly to Bob, so she can do a Bell state measurement on these two objects and send a classical information to Bob, and then Bob, according to this information, Bob can reproduce the quantum state carried by qubit one on qubit 3. And the calculation is so simple that we can put them in half of the page. And to our to fit in our system, our detector field system, we applied an alternative quantum teleportation scheme for continuous variables. So in this scheme, people applied the EPR state of two harmonic oscillators, and using the correlations between these two harmonic oscillators to do similar quantum teleportation. So again, you have a coherent state carried by harmonic oscillator one, and you have EPR state carried by this harmonic oscillator two and three, and you perform a joint measurement on one and two, and get the outcome and send to Bob, and then using this correlation, Bob can reproduce the information stored in the initial state. I will replace this harmonic oscillator by my detectors.
Okay, and where does the field come
from? Here there's no field. And also here you don't you apply an idealized state. And so to realize this scheme, you may use some two-mode squeeze state to do this, and then this is not as ideal as EPR, so you will find some entanglement comes in some inequalities. The fidelity of quantum teleportation will be bounded by the entanglement of these two. And so at this moment, we still have no quantum field.
Later,
when I adapt this scheme to our Andrew DeWitt detector theory, then that will come into play. And of course, the calculation will become much more complicated, but not as complicated as those experimentalists did in their laboratories. Yeah. Okay, so this is my action, which is the Unruh DeWitt detector, harmonic oscillator detectors, and now I have three detectors, and two is for the EPR state or the two-mode squeeze state, and the third one carries the quantum state to be teleported. What I'm going to do is to calculate the quantum teleportation from Alice to Bob, or from Bob to Alice, where Alice is at rest on the Earth, and Bob is traveling in space. And these are the famous world lines for the twin paradox. And in the original picture or the original scheme of teleportation, you are doing things in laboratories, and the theory itself is not relativistic, so you may have only one clock, and also you don't have speed of light. But here, you have multiple clocks because, that's the spirit of this twin problem. And so you, and these multiple clocks is encoded in the the time dilation effects is encoded in the proper time of each localized object or the detectors. And also, if you couple a vacuum state of the field to the detector, then you will see that the detector itself can can have decoherence. But now, because of
what do you mean by that? Do you just mean detect the C's decoherence?
Right.
Radiation,
Not yet. You just couple a harmonic oscillator to some Beth, then you will have some decoherence effect.
Is the bath it's a vacuum bath?
Right. The vacuum bath. But in non-relativistic theory, it's hard to imagine that you have different clocks. But here, you have multiple clocks, so the history of decoherence or the decoherence rate may be different for different detectors. And also, the resolution of the twin paradox is that, well, in textbook, is that why Bob has is younger than Alice when Bob, after they meet again and they compare. The reason is that Bob has some acceleration phases, and those are not in the context of spatial relativity. So even though Bob will feel Alice is running away and is running away then come back, as Alice will feel, will observe. But now Bob has some acceleration, which is kind of an absolute feeling or experience for, so that when they have a chance to meet and compare them, they will find that Bob is younger than Alice. And so now, due to this acceleration phases, and Bob will experience the Unruh effect, which states that a detector linearly and uniformly accelerated in Minkowski vacuum, which is a non-particle state for a rest observer, will experience a thermal bath at a Unruh temperature proportional to the proper acceleration of the detector. And so let's look at this the first acceleration phase, which I call it Alice Rupp problem, because in 2003, Paul Elsing and Jeremy Milburn have looked at this similar setup, and conclude that if the fidelity of teleportation is reduced due to this Unruh effect. And indeed, if you look at the reduced density matrix of Bob's detector, then you will see the hint of the Unruh effect. However, if you want to describe the history of the whole process, then this statement doesn't imply that fidelity of quantum teleportation doesn't decrease in inertial frame, in inertial motion. And this happens every day in laboratories. And the second thing is that this statement doesn't imply that a larger acceleration or higher unruh temperature leads to a larger degradation rate in time. So later I'm going to convince you that this too is true. Okay, so we put our detector theory in this setup. So at t equals zero, the initial state is product state of Minkowski vacuum and two mole squeeze state for detectors A and B, and the coherent state for the third detector. And the data on this coherent state is something we are going to teleport.
The two mode squeeze state is of two single oscillators, it's not of two fields?
Yes, two single oscillators, not two fields. And then at t equals zero, we turn on the interaction between the detector and the field, then evolve the state to T1. So, and to focus on the entanglement, the relation between entanglement and fidelity, we keep this frozen. Then we focus on the evolution of this, of the combined system of AB detectors and the field. So after some moment of interaction, these three degrees of freedom, three kinds of degrees of freedom just entangle together. And then I perform a measurement, a joint measurement on A and C by Alice. So right after local measurement, the state collapsed to this form, where A and C is another two mole squeeze state. And then Alice after this joint measurement, Alice sent a classical signal to Bob, and we assume that this classical signal travels in at the speed of light. So it's going along the light cone, future light cone of that joint measurement. Then Bob received a classical signal about the outcome from Alice at about this point. Then according to that signal, Bob can perform a suitable displacement on B. And then you can compare the out state with the in state, and you get the fidelity of quantum teleportation.
Bob is co-moving with the second detector.
Right, this is Bob's world line. And notice that the entanglement of A and B detectors are evaluated here, right before the wave functional collapse. And fidelity of quantum teleportation is compared between these two events. which is a little bit time-like. And in the simple, simplest non-relativistic scheme, without considering the effect of environments, you don't need to worry about the difference between this time, like between this point and this point. I mean, the evolution of the whole system from this point to this point. But now we are dealing with open system for the detector. So later I will show that the evolution between these two points can be important. But before that, let me introduce a theorem by Mari and Vitaly, which states that for a given Gaussian bipartite state shared by Alice and Bob with lowest partial transpose symplectic eigenvalue nu, which corresponds to the entanglement, the fidelity of the teleportation of quantum teleportation of a coherent state is limited from above by this inequality. So the left hand side is the fidelity of quantum teleportation. Actually, it's an average fidelity of quantum teleportation weighted by the probability of an outcome. And the entanglement on the right hand side, it's a function, simple function of this little nu. And this little nu, when it's positive, then the logarithmic negativity is zero. When it's when it's greater than one, then this is zero. But when it's less than one, then the logarithmic negativity becomes positive, and we have entanglement between the detectors A and B, example, and in this condition, if nu is less than one, then this quantity can be greater than 1/2. And when this is when nu is zero, when nu is one, then this is 1/2. We call it the fidelity of classical teleportation, which means which is the fidelity of teleportation using two coherent state instead of two mode squeezed state. And so you can see that entanglement is a necessary condition for a fidelity of quantum teleportation better than the classical one. However, as I told you that the entanglement here is a space-like correlations, and fidelity of quantum teleportation is a time-like correlations. And usually, you may think that because of decoherence, so the fidelity can only be worse if detector B is coupled with some environment. So that during this period, so that this inequality is always true. So because of the environment, this can be even smaller than the ideal case. So this inequality looks always true. But this is not true because entanglement during this period can get larger instead of smaller. One example is that entanglement between two causally disconnected objects can be generated by coupling with a common quantum field. And I can give you an example that the idea I stated was wrong. So in the cases with two detectors, both at rest, and at late times when they have enters a steady state, they may appear to be disentangled in Minkowski coordinates. If your foliation is the conventional one and you calculate the entanglement between these two space-time points, but between these two detectors on this time slice, then at some in some parameter regime, parameter range, the entanglement, for example, in this range, entanglement has been zero. However, if you take this foliation, you boost your observer have a boost, then you take this foliation, then you will find that if the entanglement taken at some time slice very close to the future light cone of this point with the same parameters, it's still entangled. So if you really do the calculation average fidelity of quantum teleportation, and you subtract it by the classical one, then you will see that in this range, you have no, if you are still in the conventional coordinates, then you have no entanglement. But still, you have your fidelity of quantum teleportation still beats the classical fidelity. So this may violate the inequality, unless you consider the entanglement near the light cone instead. And so let's consider the following modification. How should I say? Together with the following consistency, then we can modify the theorem to adapt those inequality to our relativistic system. So the consistency is the following: the reduced state of detector B collapse at this moment in this alternative foliation will be consistent with the reduced state of the same degree of freedom but collapse on this time slice in this conventional foliation. And actually the reduced state of detector B collapse in all frames will become consistent at this moment when Rob's when Rob is entering the future lycon of the measurement event. And so we can always choose a very funny foliation so that the time slice passing through this local measurement event is very close to the future lycon. And then we calculate the entanglement between these two detectors on this time slice. And but still it's a space-like time slice. So the proper time would be the moment that Bob or Rob entering the future lycon and subtracted by a slow amount, a small amount. And then we assume that Rob performs the displacement on QB right after receiving the classical signal from Alice. Namely, the operation is done at some moment a little bit after the moment that Rob entering the future lycon. And we calculate the average fidelity, as I mentioned, by inserting weighting the fidelity of each single shot measurement by the probability of the outcome. Then we can really compare these two quantities. The fidelity of quantum teleportation is evaluated right after Bob enters the future lycon of the measurement. And the entanglement is evaluated right before Bob's entering. So that this inequality is these two quantities are comparable in this inequality. Okay, so and we have seen this results. This is the entanglement evaluated on the lycon, around the lycon, and this is the fidelity. And as you can see, the fidelity subtracted by the classical one is bounded by the entanglement evaluated at the lycon, around the lycon. Okay, so we go ahead and calculate the average fidelity, and we find it looks like this ugly oscillation. And this is because we didn't consider the natural oscillation of the two mode squeeze state. And we look into it by calculating the average physical fidelity of quantum teleportation in weak coupling limit. And you will see that those oscillation depends on both clocks. These are the readings of Alice's clock, and this is the reading of Bob's clock. And in laboratories, in quantum optics, people had smartly resolved this problem by using local oscillators. So following the same wisdom, we can assume that theoretically, Alice continuously sends a classical clock signal to Bob.
I mean, if she's going to do classical communication anyway for the teleportation, she might as well have a clock channel.
Right, right, right. And this is a classical channel. Yeah. And in our relativistic system, you have to have this classical channel, or you don't know, you don't have the idea of the other sender's or receiver's clock. And then you cannot introduce a counter rotation to cancel that oscillation. Yeah. So if you do that, if you receive the clock and try to and perform a counter rotation, then you really can get the best fidelity of quantum teleportation. And this is almost the optimal fidelity of quantum teleportation in this inequality. Yes.
What sets the limit on the y-axis at t1 equals 0?
T1 equals 0.
What sets the limit of the fidelity? Like
0.8. Oh, it's a parameter in a two-mole squeeze state.
So it's how squeezed.
Right, right, right. Okay, so we can plot our results in different acceleration, and you can see that for a smaller acceleration, your decay rate or the degradation rate of fidelity is smaller, and for a larger acceleration, the degradation rate is larger. It seems that this is a consequence of the Unruh effect, but this is not. I said C equals H equals 1. So this is just a thought experiment. And so, cannot interpret it as a consequence of Unruh effect, because if you change your point of view, if you are in Bob's point of view, meaning that if you are Bob and you look back to your past lichen and see the entanglement around that lichen, and you will find that, and if you are in Bob's clock, then you will find that the larger acceleration give you a slower degradation, and the smaller acceleration give you a larger degradation. And anyway, this is only true for the for small acceleration. If you push your parameter of A to a larger one, then you will see that it goes the degradation rate becomes larger again when your acceleration is large enough. And so for small a, small acceleration, a proper acceleration, you cannot say that the larger acceleration give you a larger degradation rate, because it depends on your point of view. Okay, and so now if we consider a more complicated case, the twin paradox, the setup in a twin paradox, and you will see something like this. And this is the entanglement around the future lichen. And this is the fidelity of quantum teleportation subtracted by the classical classical fidelity. And you can see the curve looks very much the same. And in particular, this curve, in this example, you can see a very steep drop in this period. That's because of the Doppler shift. The apparent clock, apparent reading of the clock, of Elliott's clock by Bob in this period is running wild, crazily quick. So you can see that if I don't apply the improved protocol, then it will oscillate wildly here. And so in Bob's point of view, the coherence, quantum coherence of Elliott's detector dropped very quickly in this period. And so in the quality of entanglement drops, and then the fidelity of quantum teleportation dropped very quickly during this period. And in this example, you have similar thing, but things happen too short, so you don't even notice that. And so Doppler shift dominates the apparent history of degradation. Okay. And finally, we still have to answer where is the parameter range where the unruly effect dominates. And the answer is that the unruly effect only dominates when the traveling twin is in low speed and high acceleration in the twin problem. In this case, you will find that the history of degradation would be consistent in the sense that the larger acceleration, the larger degradation rate for both observers, for the point of view of both Elliott and Bob. And you can actually single out the unruly effect by considering this symmetric setup or double uniform accelerated detectors. But you need to be careful. In this case, for example, the unruly temperature, effective unruly temperature in this case can be much lower than this, than the unruly temperature in the uniform acceleration. Okay, great. So the summary. In relativistic open systems with localized objects moving in quantum fields, the optimal fidelity of quantum teleportation is relevant to the entanglement evaluated around the future lichen of the measurement event rather than the conventional ones. And when there are multiple clocks for objects localized at different places, one has to specify which clock or which point of view one would take to describe a non-local process like quantum teleportation. And the effect of time dilation and Doppler shift due to relative speed can be more pronounced than the unruly effect due to acceleration in dynamics of entanglement and the fidelity of quantum teleportation. That's it. Thank you very much.
Just a basic question. So I want to make sure I've understood the setup. So there's Alice has the coherence state on her side.
Right.
And Alice and Bob share a
two-mode squeeze state.
Some amount of squeezing.
Yeah.
And then there's the field which is coupled to both. Then there's the detector systems. So then Alice and Bob both have a harmonic oscillator which is going to act as their local detector.
Right.
Then they're going to perform project. They're going to couple that oscillator to the two-mode squeeze state, like Bob, Alice will do that to begin with. Alice will measure the, do the entangling measurement on the coherent state with the...
Yes, coherent state and one of the entangled pair,
right,
of the two-mode squeeze state.
Right. And then, so does Bob have his detector off then? Like, how are you switching the detectors is basically the question. Are the detectors always on? Are they always on?
Oh, they're always on. They are always on.
Is that necessary?
Necessary? No. People have done the calculation that if you turn and switch on the interaction at some moment, then and Bob start to accelerate, then after the acceleration, then you switch off the interaction. Then you bring them together and compare or do the quantum teleportation between these two in the asymptotic region. Then it would be very clear that Unruh effect dominates. But now, because of the different clocks and also you are always in the interaction region, then things can be different. And I think in most of the quantum information processing, you have successive measurements.
Yeah.
So you cannot turn on and turn off, turn on and turn off, and do the measurements always in the asymptotic region. So that's why we take quite a lot of efforts to adapt those processes in this kind of picture.
Yeah.
Yes.
So presumably there's a wave packet to send that there's a signal. It's important, the shape wave packet. So I'll try to say that, so whether there's a Doppler effect time dilation, it is effect on this because of the wave packet. Send to Alice the Bob, I will find the size and shape, and then that's me a factory result.
Oh, those are all those classical signals has been idealized to be some light rays instead of wave packet. If you consider wave packets, then it will be more complicated, and those inequality can be more. You need to more modification to those. Yeah. So here, the classical signal as you can see, the classical signals are this thin in space time. Yeah.
Measurement. So we have a photon pair. And do you assume photon pair have a zero size Gaussian packet, or they have some finite size Gaussian packet?
No, we don't consider entangled photon pairs. We consider two atoms, atomic like object, which are in a two mode squeeze state.
Two oscillators.
Yeah, two oscillators. Their internal degrees of freedoms are oscillators. And once you have two harmonic oscillators, you can
two harmonic oscillator which entangled, they'll send.
Right.
Two perfect cavity modes.
Yeah, if you like.
Yeah.
Or you can make two atoms absorb to.
Yeah. So then the effect will definitely going to be like for the moving observer, the harmonicity may look different. That's I mean, I don't know what the spring constant.
Well.
Like a time dilation, you may get a different frequency from the harmonic oscillator.
Well, in the co-moving frame, they look the same.
Yeah,
the apparent frequency of the harmonic oscillator at the other one will be different, will be observer dependent. Yeah. So that's why we have this phenomena in our results, something like this. So you can imagine that the clock signal is generated by a classical harmonic oscillator at Ellie's place, and so she continuously sends some sine wave, for example. Then so you the apparent time flow in Alice's clock would be observed by Rob or Bob with a Doppler shift.
So I think why this big oscillation rises. Yeah.
You mean here?
After the turning around.
You mean where?
Yeah, this
one?
No, lots of oscillation.
Here?
Yeah.
Oh. That's because, well, I didn't exaggerate it very much, but if the acceleration is large and the speed is large, then you can imagine that during this period, the clock, well, if you are at rest, then you will think that the clock during this period of Rob's clock will run very slowly. Because of time dilation.
But I suppose this is symmetric, right? This side has the same speed as the other side. It's just turned around. The acceleration.
Well, time is in this direction. Okay. So if, for example, if the clock of Rob's clicks only 1 second during this period, but for Alice, perhaps it's 1 year. During this period.
But in this period, there is no acceleration. It's
no oscillation at all. But it drops a very, very obviously. Yeah. So the shaded regions are acceleration phase. And they are so short that you don't even see the effect of. You don't even see the influence of boundary effect. Yeah. So the lesson is, whenever you have this combination of localized object at different places and non-local setup, then you have to be careful about your statement, about your description. On the history of the dynamics. And thank you for coming.